It's the Thinking Digital 2013 after party. A lot of people are gone. It's only the hardcore that are around, and I'm stood next to one of them. Who are you and what did you talk about today?
I am so not hardcore. My name's Aral Balkan, and I was talking about experience design.
It's kind of strange because I think the first thing I said to you after your talk was design has never been so A, interesting, and B, potentially disruptive to my future self, because you pointed out so many issues with everyday objects which could be made so much simpler and so much more beautiful, which I think deep down make me really angry, which I wasn't expressing that, but I am going to now.
Well, that's a good thing. I think being bothered by things that don't work well or don't work well as they could, I think that's a good first step. I mean, it's good to be bothered. It's good to get angry and then do something about it, of course. But it's a good first step. Mostly we don't notice these things, or even worse, they become rites of passage. So something might be really difficult, but then you have to go through this convoluted process to learn it so that afterwards, well, why doesn't everyone else have to go through this process? That's a rite of passage. And I think that's one of the biggest dangers. So, I think it's good to get angry and frustrated.
I wish there was an algorithm that can, maybe some kind of Fitbit, jawbone style device that could measure the level of stress in my life as I move through these digital and analog and every interface that I come across.
And I would love to do that. I mean, I think that would be awesome, because what I try to do in my talks is initially make the problem visible. But I think that would be an amazing experiment. That would be amazing data to have, because it does have an effect on people. As I was saying during my talk, our lives are a string of experiences. And that's experiences with people, but also experiences with things. An experience is an experience. And if we're having bad experiences, if we're having multiple bad experiences, we're having a bad day.
I like to think we're made of stories, and quite a lot of the bad experiences are where the good stories are embedded. So although I wouldn't necessarily want to remove the bad experiences, I'm pretty sure I could find them in amongst the beautifully designed world. What is the kind of ultimately designed world in your imagination?
I think in order to reach that sort of a goal, I don't know what it would be. I think it's not so much about the end result. Design isn't about the end result necessarily. Design is the process by which you arrive at something that's hopefully easy to use and empowering and delightful. And again, I think what we need to change is the organizational structure of the world in general. I mean, things are pretty upside down in the world, you know. We've based most of our society on a base understanding that isn't entirely true. And if you don't start from truth, then you can't really build upon that. So I think truth and honesty and authenticity are very important to designing things that are actually useful for people. And so I think we need to change how people think. We need to really overhaul the world if we want it to be better designed. We need to make it more truthful. We need to base it on truth. And that means overhauling some of our base institutions as we have them today.
This may be a theological question. Where doesn't design exist?
I think design exists everywhere. If you're talking about humans, we live in a designed world, a world that we've designed for the most part. In the 21st century, I think it exists everywhere. And it has the potential to make people's lives better.
What about nature, the Fibonacci stuff?
Well, I mean, we are part of nature. Everything we design is part of nature. There is nothing that is artificial. Artificial, by its definition, cannot exist in the universe. Anything that does is natural.
I've got to pull back now, because that was a question that took me down a wormhole that you understand, and I'm like struggling now after three glasses of wine. But that is so right, and it's kind of weird to think about it in that way.
I don't know. I guess it's the only way I think about it.
How do you feel when you come across an instance in your normal everyday kind of existence and you think, this is so wrong, but it's so easy to make it right? Do you want to fix it? Do you want to contact the people behind it?
Of course I do. And to answer that other part of your question, I usually do contact the people behind it. And sometimes they're very receptive, you know. The problem is I'm independent. I work by myself for the most part. Maybe that's something I need to change if I want to fix more things. But there's only so many hours in a day. But yeah, I definitely do. Who wouldn't?
Exactly. If only we had that level of control. For me, thinking of the whole nanotech futures that we're heading into, and at the moment we can download firmware updates, we can download software updates. I've got it in my head that we'll be able to buy a single device and download hardware updates, because at a nano level, wouldn't our hardware be able to kind of metamorphosize into whatever we want? I hope I'm not thinking too sci-fi. I'm hoping I'm only thinking 50 years into the future.
I don't know, replicators would be nice. Mm. But we kind of have those. I mean, we're getting those, right, with 3D printers. So it may not be that one device that also auto-updates its hardware. But you can definitely, even today, download bits and update your hardware via a 3D printer. You have 3D printers that can print themselves. So you have self-replicating 3D printers. So you could have self-replicating, self-healing objects in the future. It's definitely not science fiction.
I love what you're saying, but I mean, because I didn't even think of the fact that sometimes it's the guts that are still doing well, and people get bored with the shape or the object they want. Then you think, because it's a new shape, well, just download and print yourself a new shape.
Well, isn't that what they were doing in Bath with the facades of the buildings back when? You know, they used to change the facades of the building. So, yeah, I think there's definitely that application. But in general, I think combined with open design, there's a huge amount of potential for all sorts of applications, not just cosmetic, but especially in places where it's hard to get certain manufacturing. It might be awesome to be able to print a variety of things on a generic 3D printer. That could help a lot of people.
Finally, I guess, what makes you most passionate about what it is you do?
I just think I really, really respect the limited amount of time that we have on this earth. I really do. I mean, that stems entirely from my being an atheist. I mean, that's something I'm very open about. But I think because of that, I have a huge amount of respect for the time and the experiences that people have here on Earth. And I just want to make those better, you know, because I think we deserve them to be better. And that's it, really. That's what motivates me. I find it sad that we don't pay more attention to that.
For some reason, it makes me feel like you're in a rush, and I may be completely wrong with this, to make things better because we don't have that much time. But in another way, you seem very present. And for me, I feel, you know, I'm a similar religious belief as you, as in without.
Yeah, exactly.
So I just want to make the most of everything right now.
Right.
And that's why I was so angry at some of the examples you were showing and going, you're right, life is too short for this shitness.
Exactly. I mean, just think about it. If something that could take you 10 seconds, that could be designed better to take you 10 seconds, takes a minute instead, that's not going to kill you right there and then. But these things add up. So how many years are you losing to this in the end? Cumulatively, if we add it up, how many lifetimes are we losing to bad design? That's a shame. That's something that's totally preventable. You know, we are losing lifetimes to bad design just from things that don't work as efficiently as they could. Forget, you know, things that you could layer on top, like delight. Just from things that don't work as efficiently as they could, we're losing lifetimes.
We're using lifetimes.
We're using lifetimes.
As users, exactly. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that doesn't motivate you to make things better, I don't know what would.
If people want to check out what it is you're doing, where can they go?
They can go to my blog. It's aralbalkan.com.
Spell that.
aralbalkan.com. And that pretty much usually links to whatever I'm working on at the moment, if I'm organized enough to update it.
I know what that's like. Oh, well, thank you so much for today. One of, you know, a couple of incredibly inspiring moments that make coming to this part of the country so really important.
Thank you so much, and thank you so much for the interview as well.
Thank you.